We left off yesterday trying to understand what is the point of contention between what appears to be the view of the Mishnah and the view of the Mechilta that Tosfos presents. Do we apply the principle of Ein Onshin Min Hadin in terms of Tashlumi Mamon, or particularly in terms of Tashlumi Nezikin? So the Mishnah, pretty clear, is that that principle does not govern Hilchas Nezikin. We could use Kalachemis and the Matzinas, other ways of figuring out how to extrapolate, how to extend payment. And the Mechilta says, no, the buck stops here. What it says in the Chumash you pay for, what you think you're going to figure out in the Kal v'Chomer, we're not going to make you pay. So what exactly is the point of the Machlokes? So yesterday we went down the route trying to explain that it's a Ein Onshin Min Hadin type of Machlokes. Depending on what the different reasons, we pointed out three different possible understandings of why there's a principle of Ein Onshin Min Hadin to explain the Machlokes. But now we're going to go down an entirely different route. And today's Shia is going to be really much more Bavakama-ish. Well, yesterday was a little bit more Sanhedrin-ish, now a little bit much more Bavakama-ish. Namely, maybe the question doesn't lie so much within the principle of Ein Onshin Min Hadin, but the question really is a much more fundamental question, namely, what is the nature of Tashlumei Nezikin? What exactly are you paying for? We've been learning a bit about Kam for 2 weeks, so it's probably a good question, a good time to ask that question. Why exactly are you paying? Well, my animal went ahead and it ate up your fruit. So the Torah says, I have to pay. My animal went ahead and trampled on your property, ruined something. Have to pay. I went ahead and I was careless and my fire got out and it burnt down your property. Have to pay. So many cases in Pashto Mishpat that have to pay. One has to raise a fundamental question, what the nature of that payment is. So one can understand that payment really in one of two ways. It's basically hakir about what Tashlumei Nezikin is all about. One could argue that Tashlumei Nezikin is just a logical response to the fact that the other person suffered a loss of mamon. The fact that, bottom line is, you're out money, you're out cash, your fruit was destroyed, your animal was killed, your house was burned down, and I'm the one who brought that about. I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a mean guy, maybe I didn't even do anything wrong per se, but at the end of the day, I have to pay because any and every time that I am responsible for you having a loss in your worth, that's my responsibility. Mashal Mada Padova. If I borrow $100 from you, am I a bad guy for borrowing $100? No. But at the end of the day, I have to pay back the money. Why do I have to pay back the money? Because I was the one who was responsible for you laying out $100. So it's understood. I have to reimburse you for that $100. Go to your store and I buy a bag of potatoes. So the halacha says I have to pay. I'm a bad guy. I didn't have to clap al chet for buying potatoes. No. I didn't do anything wrong. But afal pi chein, if I have your potatoes, so b'meila, I'm a chuyuf to pay for those potatoes. So the same thing is true. At the end of the day, my animal trampled on your property. Am I a bad guy for doing it? Did I even do anything wrong? I don't know. I'm not even sure. Did I do anything terrible? Or I was making a barbecue. The fire got out, ended up burning down your field. So the Torah says, Kisei Tzayesh, Shalem Mishalem Mavar Sabeira. I have to pay for it. Because I did an Aveira? Not necessarily. Just because simply I'm responsible for a Hefzid moment that I caused. Or maybe no. Maybe the emphasis on Ezekiel is a little bit different. Maybe in Ezekiel, every case of Ezekiel always has with it a certain degree of negligence. Now, there's negligence. So a person lets his animal walk around freely into somebody else's backyard and is not careful about what's going on, and the animal eats up somebody else's fruit, so there was a degree of negligence there. So perhaps the tashlumin is commensurate with the fact that I did something wrong. So the focus of Nezikin is not so much just the tikkun of the hefsid, but the focus of the Nezikin, tashlumin Nezikin, is really direct correlation to what was done wrong. I was pesheya when I dug a hole in the street. I was pesheya that I didn't watch the coals properly. I was pesheya that I let my animal run wild. Maybe that's ultimately wherein lies the chiyuv, to have to pay. So Rashi has two comments about this topic. But Rashi seems to present this as actually two different approaches, two fundamental different approaches to what Nezikin is all about. So if you take a look at the bottom of the second page, Maramachal number 17, Rashi is commenting on a very, very cryptic Mishnah. The Mishnah uses the phrase, Kol shechafti bishmiroso hechsharti es nisko. No problems. I'm not sure what that means. Chafti bishmiroso hechsharti es nisko. So Rashi attempts to explain that phrase. Rashi says, shechafti bishmiroso shen nischayafti l'shomo. Shechafti is a shortened version of the word nischayafti. So I am chayav to watch the following. And then at the top of page 3, Maramachal 18, Hechsharti es nisko. What does that mean? Klomar. So it's always a key. It's a giveaway in Rashi. When Rashi uses the word klomar, it means he's going to give a connect. He's going to add something to the Mishnah. If the Mishnah was so self-explanatory, there would be no need to say klomar. So has to say. So Rashi says, "Zechshatis is klomar. Im hizik, if my animal, my property did damage, hechsharti v'zimanti also hezek. I was the one who made that damage." Look at the three words. You have the magic words. Shalo shamartiv yofeh. Says Rashi, the punchline of the Mishnah is, it was an ishmira. It was a lack of shmira. It was a deficiency in my watching my item, my watching my animal, watching my property. And ultimately, the mechayev of paying is the lack of shmira properly. So those are the key magic words according to Rashi. Shalo shamartiv yofeh. Koch matzasi, Rashi says. That's the pshat that he saw presented. Lishtacharina, another version of what this cryptic Mishnah means. Hechsharti es nisko, alai lahachshir ulasakein es nisko, kloma ani chayav l'shalem. According to the second version of Rashi, the key phrase, shmira, is lacking. The reason why I have to pay is because I have to pay. Alayla hachshil l'sakin es nisko. Because at the end of the day, a damage took place. So kloma ani chayav l'shalem. I am chayav to pay that. But notice in the second version of Rashi, the magic words shmira are lacking. So basically, the Acharonim explained that this nuance, it's almost like a quick sleight of hand, is the word shmira, important, not important. It makes all the difference in the world. What is the ultimate engine that's driving the chiyuv of nezikin? Is it a lack of shmira or not? That question now touches upon the issue of Einon Shem Ben Din. So we want to know, does it make any sense at all to apply the principle of Einon Shem Ben Din to the parasha of Nezikin? So the real question is, well, is it an onish altogether? Einon Shem Ben Din, kishmoy keinu. That makes sense when you're talking about an onish aguf, you're talking about mis, you're talking about malchus. Those are onshin. The fact that a person was an ovid of an azar is chayav misa, he's not paying anybody back with that misa. That's an onish. The question is paying $100 for the broken window, is that an onish or not? So according to the first day in Rashi, it sounds like it is a little bit of an onish. It's an onish for the lack of shemira. So then we could discuss, perhaps Einon Shem Ben Din. According to the second Shan Rashi, it's like buying a bag of potatoes. So you wouldn't say, Ein Mishal Mitashlubi Potatoes Ben Din. That wouldn't make any sense. If something is not rooted in Hilchos Onshin altogether, then the whole application of the principle of Einon Shem Ben Din really would be not appropriate. But up until now, everything we've been saying, both yesterday's shiur and today's shiur, is all assuming that there is an opinion out there that maintains that Einon Shem Ben Din does apply to nezikin. That was the view of the Mechilta. Remember, we saw two different cases of the Mechilta. One case was about the digging of a bor. The Mechilta says, why does the Torah have to say you opened up a pre-existing bor or you dug a bor? Isn't it obvious? If you're chayef for opening a pre-existing bor, kal v'chorim you're chayef for digging a bor, oh, must be to tell me, Einon Shem Ben Din. The second case of the Mechilta was, if you're chayef for shechting somebody's animal that you stole, how much more so if you sold it, because you sold it, now it's not here altogether. So, oh, why does the Torah repeat, u'tvacho o mecharo, must be to teach me, Einon Shem Ben Din. Those were the two examples that the Mechilta gave that led Tosus to believe that that is the shittas of Mechilta. But now we have to backpedal for a minute. And now we're not even sure, that this Mechilta even exists. Now, I don't mean it doesn't exist. Mechilta exists, but we're not sure what the Mechilta said exactly. So if we take a look at the 19th in the Mamakamas, the Rashba takes a whole other view as to what the Mechilta is actually talking about. V'i kashalach, says the Rashba, the Mamakam number 19, the Mashba, the Ein Onshim in Adin, Af Ben Ezikin, V'chid Yamina Ben Mechilta, the Tanya kiyifta chishbor o kiyichra im aposecha v'kor lo kol shagain v'lamer chashen on shemen din. Says the Rashba, the Mechilta, quoted the Mechilta verbatim like Tosfos. Mechilta says, why does the Torah repeat the phrase kiyifta chiyichra to teach me on shemen din? Says the Rashba, wait a second, what did the Mechilta say? Not what you think it says. Says the Rashba, mistavrily, it would appear logical to me, the lo amru kein ela beniske bor. Says the Mechilta, says the Rashba, first of all, the Mechilta is not talking about all of the Parashim Nezikin. The Mechilta is not talking about all of Dinim Amnis. The Mechilta is talking about a very, very limited, very, very unique, what we call not a Din Kloli, but a Din Prati, a localized rule in terms of Bor. When it comes to Bor, then we can begin to accept the idea of quote unquote Einon Shemir Adin. My Manishtana bore from all other cases. So the Rashba now begins to lay down some basic yesodas, things that hopefully we're going to talk about a lot as the weeks and months continue in terms of understanding the ins and outs of Nezikin. So the Rashba says, he says, Niske Bor, the whole parish of digging a hole and an animal falls in and gets hurt, breaks its leg, etc., dies. It's an unbelievable chiddush. Why is it such a, what's the chiddush about Bor? Such a chiddush. If I light a fire and I burn down your house, it's such a chiddush you have to pay. If my animal eats up your food, it's such a chiddush you have to pay. Bor is a chiddush. What is mechudush about Bor? So the Rashba continues. The lake of a kulu nizik in the cover saying, there is no other mazik like Bor. Now, our Mishnah only speaks about four mazikin. A little bit later on, in the Avdal, the Gemara is going to actually raise it up to 24 mazikin. There are 24 different categories of Bor, and the Rashba says, which of these is not like the others? Bor is different. Bor is so radical, so unique, so different from all other mazikin, that's going to impact on the Michilta. So first of all, the Rashba has to now explain what makes it so different. Manishtana Bor, the Rashba explains. The lake of a cool nazik de kavasei. That's quite a powerful statement. There's no other mazik like Bor. So number one, he says, lefi she'ein darko le'lechul hazik. He says, first of all, a Bor is stationary. A Bor doesn't move. If you just think about, we don't even have to jump to all 24 mazik. Just think of the four in the Mishnah. Think of standard mazik. The animal goes out and it gores another animal. My animal went out. My animal was on the move. My animal was active. I light a fire, the fire is taken by the wind, the fire goes, burns down your property. My animal goes out and eats up my neighbor's crops. In every single case of mazikin, the animal, or even in the case of an other mamazik, I throw a baseball to break through your window. Each and every case of mazik, the mazik, the one who's causing the damage, is moving towards the davar hanizak. Here it's the other way around. I dug a hole and walked away. I'm not moving. My boy is not moving. Your animal walked into my mazik. So comes the Rashba, that's a chiddush. If not for the posuk of chumash, one could have argued, that's not nezikin, that's not my problem. That's svar number one. The ode, the Rashba says in the third line, another tremendous chiddush in bar, she'eno shalom. V'afilu hachi asa kosav kilu shalom. Says the Rashba, wait a second, why am I paying for a bar altogether? I understand that if my animal eats up your crop, I have to pay, because that's what's called mamoni shehizik. The Mishnah says, mamon chush marasolacha. If it belongs to you, you're responsible for your property. So I'm responsible for my animal that eats, I'm responsible for my animal that gores. I'm even responsible for my fire, that my coals, my fire, my flame, that burns down your house. I got all that. Boar? The boar doesn't belong to me. Where did I dig this pit? I dug the pit in the middle of the street. Who does the street belong to? Belongs to Tinek. So it's not my boar. It's not my hole. If I would come around to the town and say, guess what? It's now my boar because I dug it. They throw me out. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. One could have argued that I'm not chayav altogether. So in fact, the Gemara later on, hopefully we're going to spend a lot of time in this as the sugyas develop a boar. The Gemara even raises a question and says, wait a second. The pasuk in Chumash is almost an internal contradiction. The Torah speaks about digging a hole. I'm digging a hole in the middle of the street. And we all know in terms of monetary law, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me, the street. And all of a sudden the Torah says, Baal habor yishalem kesef yishalem balav. The Torah says the owner of the pit has to pay. So the Gemara says, what do you mean the owner of the pit? Stop. Who's the owner? I don't own the pit. Why am I called the Baal habor? So the Gemara says, you're right. A boar b'shus arabim is what we call in halacha a davar she'ena b'shuso. It doesn't really belong to you, and technically you should be able to get out of having to pay. The asoa kosav kilu b'shuso. The Torah gave such a chiddush. The Torah slapped such a chiddush at me and says, even though it doesn't belong to you, vis-a-vis paying for the damages, we're going to call it your boar, baal habor shalem. The Gemara is searching for other cases. Where do you find such a phenomenon in halacha that something doesn't really belong to me and I should really be able to get out free, not be responsible for something because it's not mine? The Torah says, sorry, that asah koskil mishuso. So the Gemara has a fascinating model, nothing to do with Ezekiel. Chus chametz. Who else is the same svar? Comes Pesach, and the Torah says, shivas yamim, you're not allowed to own chametz, lo yirol chametz, But we know the issur of owning chametz is only if it's my chametz. If I have a non-Jewish chametz, if somebody else's chametz in my rishus, so that's not by Ravei Motzei. So a person comes, Lechamevi has some shalom to the Kisei HaKovet, and they say to him, so tell me, why didn't you sell your chametz? What were you doing? You had a store full of chametz. What's going on? So the store says, wait a second, not so simple. I learned Brav Mitzvah back in my days. I remember that when you have something which is Aser B'Hana'ah, if something is prohibited to derive benefit from, it doesn't really belong to you. Technically, it's not really yours in terms of Dina Mammon. It's going to many opinions. So the person turns to the Rebbe Shlomo and says, I own chametz. It says, Lo Yirah L'cha. I didn't own the chametz because the chametz is Aser B'Hana'ah, because it's chametz. Uh-huh. So the Gemara says, if you go with that, I don't want to say a criminal logic, it's not a bad logic. If you go with that logic, then there's no prohibition by Ravei Motzei. The person can always outsmart the Torah by saying, well, it's not mine because it's Aser B'Hana'ah. So Gemara says he's right. In terms of pure lumpus, he's right. But guess what? Eino b'shusa shel adam. Chametz does not really truly belong to you. V'aso ha'kosov ki'ilu b'shuso. The Torah makes believe, vis-a-vis Bali Ravei Motzei, that it monetarily belongs to you. So when the Gemara is looking for a model, where do you find such a model in halacha? Something doesn't belong to me, but I'm still treated as if it does. The Gemara has two cases. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Shnei Devarim Einu B'Shusa Shel Adam, V'Ason HaKosav Gilein B'Shuso, Bor B'Shusa Rabim, V'Chametz B'Sheish Osel Mala. Those are the two cases. Again, one is say the Moed, one is say the Nezikin, but the common denominator is that in terms of pure Dinei Mamonos, it's not really mine. I am responsible. In the case of Chametz, I'm responsible vis-a-vis by Ravei Motzei. In the case of Bor, I'm responsible vis-a-vis Bala Boi Shalem. So comes the Rashi and says, it's really a Chiddush. When all the Dos settles, it's a tremendous Chiddush. I wouldn't have said it on my own. Then the Rashi keeps on going. He says, I'm not done with the Chiddushim, says the Rashi. The Ode, at the end of the third line, the Ode, Shahanizak Bolishuso Shalmazik, Hainu Chalal HaBor. There's something else that Bor has that no other Mazik has. There's a general rule in Hukos Nezikin. Say, I have my backyard, and I have my animal in my backyard. My animal's a pretty wild animal, but I have it locked up. It's walking around, roaming around my backyard. My backyard is locked up properly, because someday I can do whatever I want in my backyard. Your animal, without my permission, your animal spatzias into my backyard and ends up getting gored from my animal. What's the din? What's the din? I'm totally potter, because I, the quote-unquote mazik, have a right to turn around to you and say, Shorcha b'shusi, my boys. What's your animal doing in my backyard? If I invited him in and I told him I'm going to wash his animal, I take responsibility. It's a different story. But if your animal walked in on its own without my permission, so why am I chayev? So comes the Rashman and says, that's what every boar is. Every boar is, your animal walked into my pit. Who told your animal to walk into, my pit's a little bit of a figurative statement, but who told your animal to walk into my pit? So therefore, just as if your animal walks into my backyard, let's say I would dig a pit in my backyard, and I didn't invite you in, it's my backyard, my door's locked, and your animal breaks in and falls into the pit. My mechayev, Torah, Shorcha, Rishus, my boy, what's your animal doing in my Rishus? So comes the Rashba and says, every case of boar is such. What's your animal doing in my Rishus? So the Rashba has three independent reasons why boar really should have been fought. There's no logical reason boar to be chayev.
Does three really add anything onto two?
To what? Three is almost a combination of one and two. It's a little bit, the reasons are merging a little bit into one. You're right, you're correct. But the Rashba is presenting him as three votes. He is presenting him as three independent reasons. So comes the Rashba, made a whole case. He's the lawyer of the Bala Bor. He's going to give a whole case what the guy should be potter. So he's right. Logically, he has convinced us beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no reason for the Bala Bor to be chayev. Except there's one thing that Trump said. He says in the Chumash, Bala Bor Shalem. He had to finish. That's it. Kachet Shatera. So comes the Rashba and says, once we've identified that boar is such a tremendous chiddush, now we have a right to apply the following. There is a principle that appears in halacha called ein l'chabo el chiddusho. The background to understand what that means is that in all other areas of halacha, we can derive things one from another. We do it all the time. That's how we start off the Shia. Mematzidus, Kalachemez. We can say Svaras. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, so he didn't just give us exactly what it says in the Chamish Chumash Torah. He gave us all the Tereshim HaPeh in terms of how to understand all the mitzvahs, and he gave us the ability to be able to extrapolate and compare in Kalachemez and Mematzidus, back and forth, Pirchas, Kashas. That's all part of the Tereshim HaPeh. That's Rabbi Shmalom at Kalachemez. So comes the Gemara and says that idea of extrapolating, comparing, if the din is true here, then maybe it's true here, that only makes sense when you're dealing with most of Dini HaTorah, which fit into a general pattern. Most of Dini HaTorah pretty much are related to one another. Let's say, We're learning Bava Kama right now, but there are a lot of similarities between Bava Kama and Bava Metzia. A lot of similarities between Bava Metzia and Bava Basra. There are a lot of similarities between what we're learning in Ksubas. There are a lot of interrelated sugyas that, even though right now we're talking about a Shor Shehizik, but there are certain connections between Shor Shehizik, other kinds of Mazik, and other kinds of Chiyuvei Mamon, etc. But every once in a while, you bump into a category of halacha that's an unbelievable chiddush. It just breaks all the rules. It's in its own world. Let's say like the Marshal. The Gemara tells us, and later on in the Kama, in the seventh barak, Adam Zomerman is an unbelievable chiddush. If you think about it, two witnesses say Reuven broke Shimon's window. Two witnesses say that Imanu HaYisem, you were with us. So all of a sudden the Torah says, we believe the second set. Why? Like, how do you know? It's a 2-on-2. So the Gemara says, you're right. Logically, there's no reason to believe the second set over the first set. That's what the Torah says, that the second set of belief when they say Imanu HaYisem. So Gemara says, since Eden Zom is such a gewaltig chiddush, we have to be very, very careful. We can't extend the chiddush. Chiddushim, by very nature, have to be limited in scope. Chiddushim, by very nature, can't extrapolate, can't jump, can't move around in Hilchos Chiddushim. So comes the Rashi and says, when the Mechilta says, quote-unquote, ein onshin min hadin by bor, the Mechilta does not mean ein onshin min hadin by mamonis. And the Mechilta does not even mean ein onshin min hadin by nezikin. All the Mechilta means is, ein onshin min hadin by bor. Because bor is such a chiddush, it lends itself to limitations. It lends itself to not being extrapolated. It lends itself to its own dalat amos. And therefore, ain't quote-unquote, ain't onshin min hadin. So according to the Rashi, the phrase ain't onshin min hadin that appears in the Mechilta is a little bit of a misnomer. It's not the regular imagery of ain't onshin min hadin that we've been speaking about for the last couple of shiurim. It's a very unique statement limited to bor and those types of chidushim. Now, the Rashi himself does not address the second half of the Mechilta, namely the case of Tavach HaMachar, the case of a person who shechts or sells a stolen animal, but we can plug in what the Rashi is saying to that as well. Because if you think about it, it's an unbelievable chiddush. The guy pays da'al v'hei. Like, mecha taisi. I stole an animal, so midas hadin dictates that I have to return the animal. The heishas gzeil shagot, I have to return what I stole. You want to tell me we're going to slap a fine at you for stealing? Okay, and I can almost hear that. So we'll throw a fine at you. Kefil, pay twice the amount. And haraya. If I stole something else, that's all I pay. So the normal standard fine for stealing is paying kefil, paying twice the amount. Here the Torah throws an unbelievable thing at me. The Torah says, you shechted the animal, pay not just kefil, you got to pay 4 times, 5 times. This is crazy. This is wild. This is a chiddush haTorah. If not for the chiddush haTorah, in my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have said such a thing. If that's the case, then we apply the rule called ein lecha b'al chiddusho, which is exactly what the Mechilta meant when it comes to Dal Bei as well. So,
but the Gemara doesn't seem to suggest that when the Gemara is trying to learn from Bor, we can learn. If you just had Bor and one other Abba,
Okay. So, as real suggesting that our Gemara may argue even on that. I mean, from the fact that our Gemara is willing to use boar as part of different mematzinos and sadashavas and things of that nature, it sounds like that our Gemara is not even going as far as the Mechilta. You may be right. But the Mechilta is not going anywhere near as far as Tosus thought it was. Tosus said, the sheet is a Mechilta is, ain't no shmid in my mominus. So the Rashi says, there's no such Mechilta. All the Mechilta said was, but cases of grandiose chidushim, we wouldn't have figured it out on our own, then and only then. So you're right, the watered-down, limited version of the Mechilta, maybe the Mishnah and the Gemara maybe disagrees even with that. That's possible. So far we have two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim as to what is this sheet of Mechilta. According to Tosfos, it's some grandiose statement of Ein Onshin Min Hadin by all of the Nemamonis. Very, very b'chudish d'rashita, no pun intended, in terms of understanding the Mechilta. And then you have the Rashba's much more watered-down version of the Mechilta, much more limited version, that the Mechilta was only talking about strange, unique cases of Bor and Dalabay. Now we have a third possibility that appears in the Shita Mekubetzes on Mar Mokom number 20. Shita Mekubetzes calls the name of the Maharikat. Maharikat appears very, very often in Maseches Bava Kama. Again, I don't know much about him, except we know he was a Kohen, that's about it. But one of the Gedolei Rishonim, the Maharikat, who has the following insight into the Mechilta, a whole new approach to the Mechilta. Says the Marikatz, Mashmah Hocha the Onshin Ben Adin Kosu Betosus. So he starts out by saying, well, it appears from our Mishnah that Kain Onshin Ben Adin by Mamanis, as Tosus said. V'ye Shlomar de Lo Pligi. He says, guess what, says Marikatz, there's no real machlokes between the Mechilta and our Mishnah. Why? The Mechilta lo'asal hashmeinan b'chi of mamon ela be'iser takhola dein on shemin adin b'dine shamayim. He says, whoa, whoa, whoa. Says the Markatz, when the Mechilta was talking about should we make you chayav, maybe that magic word, should we make you chayav for digging a bore? No, we can't make you chayav in on shemin adin. What does the word chayav mean? I thought the word chayav means take money out of your pocket, make you pay. When we're learning Bava Kama now, when we use the word chayav, we know what chayav means. Chayav means tachlis, basically going to make you pay. Says Mechilta, not always. The word chayav has a double meaning. It does have a connotation of a monetary obligation. That's clearly a primary part of being chayav. But there's a whole nother ballgame. There's a whole nother side, a whole nother dimension of mazikin. And namely, are you responsible in Shemayim? When you come to Yachamev Yasim Shalom to Shemayim, they're going to ask you, why did you damage somebody else? That's a problem. That's an Aveira. That's carries with the onesh b'dei Shemayim. Forget the Tashlum. Tashlum is another parsha. That's Parsha Mishpat. Parsha Mishpat deals with paying dollars and cents in this world. But there's a whole other parsha. The parsha is Anshei Shemayim. Takol, you did something wrong. When you dug a pit, or you opened up a pit, or when you let your fire go out, or you let your animal go out, you're a Bal Aveira. You did something wrong. And that's what the Mechilta is talking about. The Mechilta is addressing in Dinei Shemayim, vis-a-vis Onshei Shemayim. Now already we understand the language. In Onshei Shemayim, so we say, guess what? In Onshei Ben Adin. In Onshei Ben Adin doesn't only apply to Basav Adam, to Bezin Shemata, Kishem Bezin Shemata, Kach Bezin Shemala. In Bezin Shemala, they also reckon with this idea of In Onshei Ben Adin. They also work with In Onshei Ben Adin. That's what the Mechilta is talking about. So comes the Shin Mekubetzis, comes the Rekatz, and say a brand new approach to this whole sugya. Means we saw the word chayev in the Mishnah, we saw the word chayev in the Mechilta, we thought, chayev, this is dollars and cents, and that's dollars and cents. No, they're two different sugyas. It's a brisket Torah, there are two different chayuvim going on here. So the Mishnah is talking about paying money. Onshin ben adin, by mominess, why not? The Mechilta is talking about onshin. And there is no onesh shall beis and shall matha for nezikin. It's just payment. The onesh is for creating the bore in the first place. Al zeh nemar that we apply the principle called of ein onshin ben adin. So now the Mechilta has to explain this to us and say, wait a second, is this basic fundamental principle true? We just opened up a whole new side of hilchos nezikin. We've been learning about Bava Kama for 2 weeks, and we've been discussing. Am I chayiv to pay? Not chayiv to pay. Says the Mechilta. Says the Markatz. You now have to ask yourself two questions: are you chayiv to pay, and did you do something wrong? So let's go back to the Shidduch Kabbalas for a minute. The Eishlama, back to the first line. The low pligi, the Mechilta lo asla shmin and mechiv mama. Mechilta is not even talking about dollars and cents. Ela be'iser takola. It's talking about the prohibition of setting up a stumbling block in the middle of the street. The ain onshim min adin b'dinei shemayim. So the Mechilta is addressing onshim shemayim. And he says, I'll prove to you that there's such a thing as onshim shemayim in damage. The ashkecham b'nezikim onish b'dei shemayim. We have a precedent for this idea. The damage that happens carries with an onish b'dei shemayim. Gabi shor, v'gam ba'ol of yumas. The Torah says that if my shor gored more than three times and killed three people, and now I'm negligent, I'm careless, and it kills a fourth person, so the Torah says, "V'gam ba'ol of yumas," which means I'm really chayav misa b'dei shemayim. I can get away with paying kofar, I get a kapara, whole story. But fundamentally, there is onshei shemayim, v'amidi b'dei shemayim. So says the Marikatz. You see, from here, there's a precedent for onshei shemayim in the parasha of Nezikin. That's a tremendous chiddush what the Marikatz just said. That's a precedent for onshei shemayim. By a shor shehargis adam, what does that have to do with digging a hole and an animal breaking its leg? He said that's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. Markatz was looking for one case. I'll dig up one case with this onshei shemayim and Ezekiel. So he found the one wild, crazy case. All the other Isharim would say, what does that have to do with me? I'm talking about dollars and cents, and you're talking about people getting killed. I understand my animal kills someone. That I understand. The Rebbe Shlomo is going to take me to task for that. The fact that I dig a hole, an animal falls and breaks its leg. Pay the cash. What's the onshei shemayim? Give the guy back his money. Pay for his animal. Call it a day. What do you have to? You have to come erev Yom Kippur and klap al chet because I dug a hole and somebody's animal broke his leg. I pay him for the broken leg in Gemarnu. But the Barakat says no. It's not true. Barakat says comes erev Yom Kippur. If you know that you cause damage to somebody, you're chayev onish and dinei shemayim. Besides payment, dollars and cents beis and shemal will take care of. But there's a din of beis and shemal as well. So that's quite a mechudish to the statement of the Barakat. And now he says, what about regular mammon? If a mammon owns shit, he said, of course, Onshin Benadin by Mamonis. Of course, dollars and cents and days, and of course, there's Onshin Benadin. When the Mechilta said, Ain't Onshin Benadin, that was referring to the Onshin Shemayim. So we have three very, very different approaches in the Gedolei of Rishonim. What's pshat in this Mechilta? The Mechilta uses a phrase, Ain Onshin Benadin, in Hukas Bor, and we want to know what is the significance of that statement. What are the parameters of that statement? So,
would the Mariketz say that in the case where nothing happened?
Oh, very good, excellent. And Mechai, because something happened, Mechai is very okay. We have to fine tune the Mariketz a little bit more. We have to work on that a little bit more next week. So we have three different approaches to what the Mechilta did or didn't say. According to Tosus, the Mechilta said an all-encompassing statement that all the din amamnis din is ain on shimin adin. It's a startling statement. It's against the Mishnah. It's against the Gemara's Bava Kamma. We tried to give a little bit of a beer yesterday with the Prima Gadim, the different reasons why Enshim Adin. We tried. We gave an attempt. But the Tosas took the Mechilta in the most all-encompassing manner. Then we had other Vishadim were toning down the Mechilta and saying, no, that's not the Mechilta meant. What did it mean? So the Rashba said, all the Mechilta meant is, when you're dealing with Hilchas Bor is such a Chiddush, and the Rashba spelled out what the Chiddush is. Bor is such an unbelievable Chiddush. By boy, you know, Shimon did. And the Marikatz, the Shimon Kubetza said, no. The Mechilta didn't even mean that. The Mechilta wasn't even talking about dollars and cents. The Mechilta was talking about Ein She Shemayim, Takolas, the Chimisa B'de Shemayim, whatever the different Ein She Shemayim are. In Hilchas, Ein She B'de Shemayim, then and only then is there a din of Ein She B'de Din. So hopefully, Met Hashem in the next year. So we have to fine tune a little bit our understanding of this Marikatz. What is this Isser, so to speak, to make a bor, which is going to touch on a more basic fundamental question of what Isser is there to cause any damage in the first place? Is damaging just dollars per cents, or is there some kind of Isser that's involved here as well? That's from next year. We'll continue.